18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. We'll be reading through verse 27. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches inherit or enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Hallelujah. A lot of interesting things in this reading today. But the big question, hallelujah, was in verse 24. Jesus saw it and was very sorrowful and said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye or the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And here's the question, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? It's amazing happening that took place. Mark, the 10th chapter, tells us of this young man that he came running, then came one running. The Bible tells us that he was a young man, and yet he had kept the law of God. At least Jesus did not dispute what he said from the time of his youth until then. He comes running up. He's a rich man. He's a young man. He's interested in knowing about the kingdom of God. But he goes away sorrowful. He goes away sorrowful. And when the people that were gathered there saw what happened, seeing the sincerity, the purity, the honesty of this young man, the success of him being a rich young man and understanding how he had handled life, and then he rejected this getting rid of his riches, the crowd looked and said, "How then, or who then, can be saved?" Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We ask you, God, to speak to us and talk to us. Let Holy Ghost anointing fill this congregation today, Lord. More than anything else, let someone here today make a total commitment. Hallelujah, that they're going to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to answer this question: who then can be saved? We believe it in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. It is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" Or "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The opponent today is a devil that is a strategic individual.
He uses plans of attack to try to stop anyone that would even take a step toward salvation. He has been proven successful in destroying the souls of so many people. One of the things that the devil does to try to keep people from finding God, one of the things that he tries to keep on people that are in a lost condition, is he tries to hide from them the fact of their lostness. There's a lot of people in our world that I do believe this, that somewhere in life, every human being feels lostness. They feel what it feels like to be losing that is the most important thing that a man can have in his soul. But by and large, over much of individuals' lives, there's a lot of people that are convinced by several things and things that the devil concocts that they're not really lost. They're not really lost. And so, you know, it's the philosophy, you know, I'm okay, you're okay. We're not going to pass judgments on anybody. There's nothing that we know for sure. And so, you know, we feel like everything is going to be all right. I'm as good as most folks that are around me. I'm better than a lot. And so, you know, I don't feel lost. Hallelujah. Oh, that every lost person here today, before I get through, could feel the horrible feeling of lostness, to realize that without God, you can live and die in any eternity, lost and undone forever and ever and ever. And so the devil tries to hide from people the fact of how lost they really are. Hallelujah. Yet there are some people that do come to realize that they're lost. And so then after that, hallelujah, the devil tries to cover up the urgency of salvation for every lost individual. I'm here to tell you today that it is a dangerous thing to live lost in a temporary world. It's a dangerous thing where things, time when things, hallelujah, when people are not aware of, and they're not moved by an urgency to make an assurance that heaven is going to be their home. And so they come to realize that they're lost, but they think that, you know, God loves me. And I just feel like I've had a lot of people say, you know, I know I'm going to be saved and everything's going to be all right one of these days because I know that God loves me. I want to tell you, God loves a whole world that's going to hell. In fact, he loves them when they're in hell. Hallelujah. The Bible says he does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked. It doesn't matter how wicked people are and godless that people are. Hallelujah. God loves them and God cares for them. But it is a dangerous thing to drag our feet and be tardy concerning coming to an old-fashioned altar and saying, God, I'm lost. I am eternally lost. I need salvation to come in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, first of all, the devil tries to confuse people and make them realize that they're not in a lost condition. And secondly, the devil tries to cover up any urgency of being saved. Hallelujah. There's no sense, you know, in getting beside myself. You know, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Several years ago, there was a mountain, Mount St. Helens, that exploded in a terrible volcano. And I went over there just a few days after that terrible tragedy took place. There was all kinds of stories of people that had learned, hallelujah, to just live comfortably in a very dangerous situation. There were certain times that old mountain would rumble and roll, and it was times that it was making an announcement that time is running out, and yet there were people that had learned not to be disturbed about what could happen. It was an amazing thing to go and see how the top of that mountain was blown off, and the heat of that explosion and that volcano, hallelujah, went to the tops of mountains and down to the backsides, and even in the backsides of the rolling heat of that powerful volcano, all these tall, large cedar trees was laid down in the same direction, and it looked like it didn't just look like it. It was evergreen fiber was taken off of their limbs, and many of the limbs were cleaned off, and it was a horrible, devastating thing to see. It was several months or years after that I went back and began to see little sprigs of green that started to grow out of that place of destruction and death. There were people, though, like an old man that said, I've lived all my life under the shadow of this mountain, and I'm not going anywhere. I saw, I believe it was his vehicle that after this had taken place, there was not a piece of paint anywhere upon that vehicle. It, in a moment's time, was cooked and was destroyed almost. Hallelujah, because of the heat. Hallelujah, people losing their life because they procrastinated and they put off. But I want to talk about a fire that's worse than St. Helens, that's already kindled, and there's people that's going there. Hallelujah. And think that the devil will make them believe. There's no urgency in this. I've buried a lot of people that had Jesus on their lips, but they waited too late to get started. They procrastinated and they put off. And then if the devil don't work, he's not successful in that area of persuasion. He'll make people believe that because of the condition of their souls and the dirtiness of their life, that God would never save them, that God would never deliver them. Hallelujah. I want to set the record straight. It has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not, the condition of your sin. Whether you have little sins or you have big sins, whether you're the most vile person that's ever lived or not, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ don't save people, hallelujah, because they're good within themselves, and he doesn't destroy them because they're evil. Hallelujah. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Anybody in this place today can leave with salvation. You may have come a sinner, but you can leave a saint today. You may have come hopeless, but you can leave with hope today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's many, 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 many people that I've met that said, I just don't believe I can ever be saved. I just don't believe that God would ever save me. The ceiling in the church would fall down if I came in the house of God. That is a devil. That's a lying devil. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God's in this building to save. Hallelujah. I know there's a great gulf fixed between a man in hell and a man that was in paradise. Father Abraham said there's a great gulf that is fixed where they can't come to you and you can't go to them. And that is true. But I want to tell you today, there's not a great gulf fixed. Hallelujah. There's a path of blood. Hallelujah. That will lead you to Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. You can leave this building happier than you've ever been in all of your life. Hallelujah. And I ain't even got to where I'm going to preach today. But I want to tell you, in this text, there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus inquiring about eternal life. Hallelujah. What should I do, or what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was rich. He was young. He was good. He was sincere. He came running and fell at his feet. Hallelujah. He claimed that for all of his life he had kept the law all the way from his youth to that present time. Jesus did not dispute it. The dedication of this young man was beyond the ordinary. It was a remarkable way that he had lived. Hallelujah. I would not dare to say that there may not be any person that's in this church house today that can make the boast that this young man made. I have kept the law of God. I have have kept it from my youth. Hallelujah. I've given my very best, it seems. He was a young man. He was a good man. And there was none that could point their finger, it seemed, at him and accuse him of anything. Hallelujah. This is just amazing. How many men have lived in a century of time that could say, you know, I lived just like, you know, a good life. And there is no blame to be laid in me, you know. And all that building. And yet in this story, the Bible says that he fell short of salvation. Jesus said, yet lackest thou one thing. Hallelujah. That's all it takes to go to hell. It's just one thing. Just one thing. Most of us lack more than just one thing. When this young man failed to obtain salvation, when Jesus told him what he had to do if he was going to be saved, he went away sorrowful. All of his sincerity, devotion, and attractiveness. Hallelujah. So much he superseded probably any of us. Hallelujah. Blowing your mind to see such a promising young man. The Bible says that Jesus, he embraced him. He was moved by the goodness of this young man. Hallelujah. But Jesus' response to the question, hallelujah, they asked the question, who then can be saved? If this boy's not saved, there ain't no sense in us trying. I've heard people make this statement, you know, if grandma don't go to hell, nobody will go to hell. Hallelujah. Is that what I'm saying? If anybody's saved, it'll be grandma that's saved. Hallelujah. Getting myself running in the wrong direction. Hallelujah. I know my grandma's saved because, you know, hallelujah, she was good. And if she's not saved, there ain't no sense in any of us trying to save ourselves. You ever heard that? That's a bunch of baloney. Hallelujah. You're not going to be saved because you're good. There's a major denomination in America and around the world that their big deal is, you know, confess your sins and you'll be saved. Except the Lord is your personal Savior. Hallelujah. And really, you've got liberated grace that allow you to do anything you want to do. All you got to do is say, I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. And then you can do anything you want to do. That is a bunch of garbage. That's right. Hallelujah. 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 But we're not saved because of our goodness. We're saved because God touches us. Hallelujah. They said, what then can we do? Who then can be saved? And Jesus' response to that question was this. The things which were impossible with man are possible with God. Yeah, we are dealing with an impossible situation of being good enough to go to heaven. You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. Hallelujah. There are things that are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. The thing that was impossible to this rich young ruler. Hallelujah. What was it? He was saving himself without God's help, he thought. I've lived so good. I've had such a spectacular life. I've kept myself so clean. Hallelujah. You know, I just believe that I'm going to be able to save myself. I just need to go tell Jesus about how good I've been. Before it was over, he had lost all hope of being saved and went away very sorrowful. Hallelujah, because we don't go to heaven because we're good. We go to heaven because God's good. Hallelujah, we don't go to heaven necessarily because of who we are, but who he is. It's more important who he is than who we are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, it's impossible. Hallelujah. It's impossible. Hallelujah. For men to be saved. But with God, all things are possible. And then they made this statement. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into eternal life. Now, you can look in your commentaries if you want to. But when it talks about the needle, it's not talking about a place that they would put in a wall by a major gate of a city where they could take everything off the camel and have it squeezed through what they call the eye of the needle. And the reason that's not what they're talking about are several things. One thing is, hallelujah, nobody can squeeze through anything and make themselves saved. Hallelujah. And it is possible to get a camel through the eye of the needle, as far as what it was called on the wall of the city. There was also a little phrase that people talked about impossibility. Impossible things. They would say that's as impossible as a camel going through the eye of a needle. It was a word that they used about impossible things in life. You look at it in almost every commentary, they'll say it's not talking about the hole in the wall. It's talking about a physical little needle with an eye in it. Hallelujah. It's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than it is a rich man to get to heaven. But I want to tell you the kicker in all of this is, with things that are impossible with God, or with man, these things are possible with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some things that man will never be able to do, but there's nothing too hard for God. Nobody's going to start. I want to tell you this. If you're saved, one thing you're going to do, you're going to start unloading things. Not because you have to unload them, because you want to unload them. You've repented, you're feeling bad about what you've done and who you are, and I'm going to get rid of this and I'm going to get rid of that, and I'm tired of this filthiness in my life. I'm tired of all these horrible things that has happened, and they clean up. But I want to tell you, they just clean up to get dirty again. It's kind of like an old pig that you can take him and you can wash him down and clean him up and scrub him up and polish his teeth if you want to. But all you got, just let him loose. And the first thing he'll do is shag it to the first mud hole. And he'll flop over on one side, and then he'll flop over on the other side. And he'll stick his nose in the mud and blow bubbles. And he'll lay on his back. He won't stop until everything is a mud ball. You know why? Because he's a pig. You can clean him up, but you can't get the pig out of him. And that's what happens when people try to crawl through and wiggle through little holes in the wall. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's way beyond that. You'll never be able to get to heaven. It's impossible for a man to save himself. But it's not impossible when it comes to God. God is man. These problems is man's business, God's business. Oh, in Jesus' name, help me today, God. Hallelujah, help me today, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Things that cannot be done by man can be done by God. Impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, the needle goes way back to the very beginning of time, and the fixing of tapestries and beautiful things, that they used a needle. But I want to tell you, that's a lot more impossible than trying to get a camel through a big hole in the wall. Hallelujah. But I'm glad that with God, take your little needle, take anything you want to that seems to speak of impossibilities, and realize that God can save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter where you're coming from, what you've done, the way you've lived, what your neighbor thinks about you, what your own family thinks about you. Hallelujah. We may have people here today that your own mom and daddy don't have any confidence in you. But I want to tell you, God is here with a call of salvation, that you don't have to continue to live in sin. And God's not going to award you for being good. He's going to award you for believing. Hallelujah. And putting everything in his hands. With God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. So salvation doesn't come on Jesus majoring on our goodness. Salvation doesn't come on, hallelujah, what we have done. Hallelujah. Salvation don't happen on what we are. Hallelujah. It's not our goodness, it's his goodness.
It's not what we have done. It's what he has done at Calvary's cross. It's not what we are. It's what he is. It doesn't matter if it's nothing more than just, hallelujah, a little of the scraps left over from a lamb that has been killed. Hallelujah, a rib in your mouth and just a leg or whatever. Hallelujah, a little ear. And it's nothing but just torn to pieces. God knows how to put the pieces back together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said God knows how to keep the pieces back together. Hallelujah, the rich young ruler's attitude was, look at my goodness. Hallelujah, look at my goodness. Hallelujah, but that's the finish. The sentence is not finished. Hallelujah, not only look at my goodness. Hallelujah, but don't leave my problem alone. Hallelujah, he was satisfied to talk about never violating the law and doing this and doing that, and I want to know what I have to do to receive eternal life. Hallelujah, but the backside of that is when Jesus put his finger on the problem, hallelujah, he did not respond to what Jesus Christ was offering him and advising him in. Hallelujah, his attitude was, look at my goodness, but leave my problem alone. That is much of the attitude of the church world. They're not wanting to get better. They're wanting to live looser than they've ever lived and yet claim to be a Christian. You're not a Christian unless you're a Christian first. It's not leftovers that all you have is to offer God. You got to give God the best of your life, everything of your life. Hallelujah. He come to seek and to save you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've seen an advertisement on a local church around here that says, don't worry about coming here. It says it like this. It says, we'll promise not to preach to you. I've heard that on the radio. I've heard that on advertisements, you know. Come to our church. We're going to have a wonderful time. We promise you we'll not preach to you. What an insult to a God-sent preacher. You go ahead and you come to our church. We'll be careful. We'll not preach to you. Well, what are you there for, preacher? We're not here to play with people's souls. We're not here to gamble with time and say, just go ahead and do what you want to do. Jesus loves you. Oh, God, help me today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you the most tragic thing here is not in having a problem, but it's not in allowing Jesus to deal with the problem. That's right. He's in the problem solving business. Hallelujah. And to get down to the situation, hallelujah, it just comes down to this. You either are ready to repent or you're not ready to repent. Hallelujah. You're ready to lay it all on the altar and give it to God and let God work that miracle for you where you walk out of this building, you know where you're at, you know where you're going, your life has been changed, you're cleaner than you've ever been, not because you deserved it, but because he loves you. A Pharisee and a publican came to an altar. The Pharisee said, I'm glad that I'm not like other people. I'm glad I'm not like other men, like this Pharisee over here. He's at the altar to pray, but he didn't pray. He was there to criticize and to look over and see a publican that was all messed up in his life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he said, I'm glad that I'm not like even the publican. Hallelujah, the publican stood there and he said, oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a contrast. Hallelujah, one man got nowhere because he didn't want his problem dealt with. The other man, hallelujah, he looked toward the Lord and he said, oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Pharisee, he said, look at my goodness, look at my possibilities. Look at how young and rich and smart I am. Hallelujah, the publican was saying, oh Lord, look at my sin, look at my impossibilities. Look at my failures. Hallelujah. Which man went home saved? Hallelujah. It was the publican. Who then can be saved? Just anybody who right now will give everything that you have to God. Hallelujah. It goes way beyond temporal things. Those temporal things have got to be transferred into eternal treasures before they're worth anything. He's interested in you coming yourself and said, "Here I am, Lord. If anybody ever needed help, I need help. Don't leave me in the lost situation I'm in. Only you can save me. It's impossible if it is just man, but it's possible when, Lord, you get involved in the salvation of my life." I wonder if you're ready to get involved today. Hallelujah. Are you ready to do one of the easiest things in all the world, and that is come empty-handed to God and say, "God, here I am. Would you please help me?" Hallelujah. Let's stand. Who can be saved? Hallelujah. The willing can be saved. The repentant can be saved. Hallelujah. Those that give themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Lord, I love you today, God. I thank you, Jesus. At the age of 8 years old, I heard the call of salvation. Lord, you filled me with your Spirit. It has sustained me. It has kept me. It has blessed my life. I am here today and still alive because of you, God. You've been good to me, not because I deserve your goodness, but because you truly love me and you gave yourself for me. I believe, Lord, that your Spirit right now is searching down every aisle and between every pew and in the balcony. Your presence and your power is reaching out to a hungry soul. Hallelujah, that would come and fall in this altar and say, "God, I've gone as far as I can go. I'm ready. I'm ready for my life to be crucified to your will and to your purpose. I'm going to quit controlling my life. I'm going to quit making the decisions. I'm going to give myself to you 100%, Lord. I know I'm in an impossible situation. The circumstances of my life are beyond me. But oh, I know that you have the answer. You have the answer, like the old leper that nobody gave him hope. But he cried out and said, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean.'" Hallelujah. It don't matter how dirty anybody is here. This church is not here to single anybody out and say, "We don't have any answers for you." We do have an answer, because that answer is Jesus Christ. And you've come to save. You've come to grant eternal life. Holy Ghost, move right now in Jesus' name as this church begins to pray. Come on, reach out. Come on, reach out. Bring more life to this today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's an opportunity available. It's an unbelievable opportunity. It's life's greatest opportunity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just as I am, I come to thee, O Lord. Here I am, God. I submit myself to you, Lord. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, shato yoloboho kianda yarabahai. Saints of God, how many of you is going to help us today? There's some people that need to be born again. Hallelujah, they need to press through the resistance. Hallelujah, they need to feel the realness of being lost. Hallelujah, they need to understand the urgency of getting right, making your calling and your election sure. Oh God, those that feels like God would never forgive them, let them realize that the love of God passes all understanding. You love us, God, in our poorest state, in our darkest hour, in our most filthy time. You care about us. You love us. You're concerned with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. I confess my sins, oh God. Oh, I cry out for mercy, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come on, do it today. Do it today. Jesus is not measuring you up. He's measuring the Lamb up.
There's nothing wrong with the Lamb. There's no blemish in the Lamb. And that's the reason you can be saved. Hallelujah, the sacrifice that Jesus made. Hallelujah, there was no flaws. Oh, everything was perfect. Hallelujah, the Lamb was without spot. Claim salvation. Grab hold of it today. Lord, touch me and help me, Jesus. Oh, touch me and help me, Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, I don't want to leave with a question mark in my mind. I don't want to leave in confusion. Oh, God. Above all else, I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. It's possible. It's a possibility. Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I give it to you, Jesus. I can't save myself within my own self.